We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 again, a few verses there, but I want to talk to you this morning about something maybe it's not talked about enough, and that's don't let the devil or don't let Satan defeat you. Amen? He's already a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him on the cross, and he doesn't have any part with us, right? Let's pray as we get started. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house to study your word again. I pray, Father, that you would forgive me for my sins and cleanse me and fill me with your spirit that you can use me this morning. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear, eyes to see you today, God. We pray, Father, as we speak about that defeated foe, Satan, Lord, that you'll make that real to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I believe firmly that the devil is the root of all the world's problems. Hardly a week goes by that we don't get the news of another example of human evil or natural disaster. Sadly, when some people look around at the presence of evil and suffering, they shake their heads and they wonder if we're not living in a hopeless world. A hopeless world. What kind of world would we live in, or do we live in, when a man is at his workplace trying to make a living for his family and a crazed man comes in off the street and starts shooting? You might think that sounds familiar. Well, it is. That was a man on Fortification Street in Jackson this past Tuesday morning that happened. He was behind the counter at working his job at a parts store, and a crazed man came off the street and began to shoot. This man was a brother of one of my coworkers, so it hit kind of close to home for me. His sister got that word about, I don't know, about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. And so I had to shift into pastor mode there for just a moment. But every day, it seems to be something going on somewhere, a tragedy, a terrorist attack, a horrendous natural disaster. And if you look at those things, you might start thinking that it's all hopeless because it's so senseless. But remember, there really isn't any hope found in this world. Our only source of hope is a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, right? But people still wonder why there's so much disaster and evil in our world. There's one very important truth that we can never forget. We must not forget. There exists in this universe a source, a living source of evil behind it all, and his name is Satan. Jesus recognized him. In fact, he called Satan the father of all lies, among other things. Jesus gave us Satan's job description. He kills, he steals, he destroys, he tempts, he accuses, he shames, he confuses, and he discourages. The devil resisted Paul's efforts to return to his friends in Thessalonica. And we need to be aware that there are times that the devil will stop us from doing what God wants us to do, right? Have you been there before? I've been there before many times. I think oftentimes he tries to get to keep me from standing up here on Sunday morning. When I go through a week and the week seems to blow by and I realize that I've not been studying. And I don't know what to say, except just to get on my knees and pray. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 17, let's look at that for a moment. It says, "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us." There's the key words there this morning. Satan hindered us. Verse 19 says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." Therefore, beginning in chapter 3, "Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were destined for this. But when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter," there's the Satan again, "the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain." How many of you remember Paul Harvey, the radio commentator from years gone past? I remember working my first job in my uncle's jewelry store in Missouri as a teenager, that the radio would be on and you'd hear Paul Harvey every day. But Paul was a committed Christian and he was deeply disturbed by the moral decline of America. And in 1966, he shared one of his most famous monologues. He described what he would do if he were the devil. Now, many of y'all have already heard this before, but it's so very true that his thoughts all those years ago became really a chilling prophecy of what is happening in our country right now. Listen to this as I read an excerpt from that. Paul Harvey says, "If I were the prince of darkness, I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, 'Do as you please.' To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that what's bad is good and what's good is boring. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, 'Our Father which art in Washington.' If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellect but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let them run wild. And before you knew it, you'd have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door." Now remember, this is 1966 that he's saying these things. He said, "I'd have prisons overflowing and judges promoting pornography. Soon I would evict God from the courthouse and the schoolhouse and then the houses of Congress. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun." You'll have to ask somebody if you don't know what that is, but I'm not going to tell you. "It's more fun than what you see on TV is the way to be. And now listen. And thus I could undress you in public and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure." Haven't we seen that in recent times? In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's already doing. Isn't that something, that he could say those words in 1966 when these things weren't really, they were this at the bottom starting up, but we could see that in our lifetime. Of course, when Paul Harvey always ended, you remember what he said? "This is Paul Harvey. Have a good day." But it wasn't a good day, was it? And it's not a good day because Satan is real. He's real. And if you really follow Christ, then you know what I'm talking about, don't you? If you aren't a follower of Christ, then his number one strategy is to keep you by all means possible from knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, certainly from following him. The devil tries to prevent you from hearing and responding to the gospel. That's why he fills our minds full of so many other things when we're sitting in church, so we don't hear what God has to say to our hearts. But once you become a Christian, the devil still doesn't give up on you. He just changes his strategy, does he not? From that point on, he tries to... Paul said he wanted to visit Thessalonica, but the devil stopped him. He hindered him. Switch me to this one. See, the devil's right now messing with my microphone. It's his fault. We'll blame the devil. The devil and his demons want to stop you from reading your Bible. He wants to stop you from praying. He wants to stop you from attending worship or from giving to God or from witnessing or from serving God or from growing in your faith. He wants to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. So how should you respond and how should I respond when Satan tries to hinder us? Let's learn these important lessons from Paul. Number one, when Satan tries to hinder you, realize that God allows it. And I'll explain that in a minute. But can you think of a time in your life when you were really trying to do what was the right thing to do and you just couldn't make it happen? You may be going through that scenario right now. Ray Stedman had this to say about Satan's hindrance. He said, "Have you experienced a frustrating time in your own life when again and again you tried to do something you knew was right and found it hard going? You met opposition and hindrance, perhaps even from your own family. That is satanic hindrance, the psychological manipulation of minds to arouse opposition and plant obstacles in your path. Satan and his demons will try to hinder you, but they can only do what God allows them to do." You can take comfort in that today. One of the biggest mistakes Christians make in relation to Satan is that they consider him to have unlimited power. But Satan is a fallen angel. He isn't the dark side of the force. He isn't omnipotent. In other words, all-knowing, all-powerful. God is the one who is all-powerful, not Satan. Satan doesn't have unlimited power. Some Christians really run around all the time scared of Satan, scared of what he might do, scared that demons are going to jump on them and those kinds of things. But they can't do anything that God does not allow to happen when you belong to Christ. Amen? God permits Satan to tempt us and to challenge us because he knows when he allows those things to happen in our life, it builds our character. It makes us stronger. We confirm that from the story of Job. You remember reading that? Satan and God were talking one day, and God said, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He's a fine man, don't you think?" Something like that. But Satan didn't think so. Instead, Satan said, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything that he has? You've blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything that he has, and he'll curse you." In other words, Job's just following you because you blessed him. Job's just following you because you gave him a lot of stuff and you gave him a lot of flocks and herds. That's the only reason why that Job is serving you.
But the Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then everything he has is in your hands, but you can't touch his life." Fortunately, we know the end of the story of Job. He wound up blessed more than he had at the beginning, much more. But the lesson we learn is that God allowed Satan to torment Job for a season. When I feel like I'm getting tormented or something bad's going on, I've got to where the first thing I want to know is, what can I learn from this experience? What can I, God, what do you have to teach me during this time that I feel like I'm being tormented? But God limits Satan's power. And I'm convinced Satan's power is limited in relation to God's children. He can hinder us, but he can't hurt us, right? God limits Satan, and God permits his attacks against us. It's not something that he can choose to do on his own. He's got to come past the hand of God, right? God has his hand on his people that belong to him, who've trusted Christ as Savior, and he keeps that hand over you and I, and he shields and protects us like he did Job. He put that hedge of protection around Job. Don't think that God doesn't do that for you today, because he does. Second thing is when Satan tries to hinder us, remember that Satan may discourage us, but he cannot defeat us. When Paul tried to visit Thessalonica in our scripture today, it said, "Satan hindered me." Satan hindered us, or Satan stopped him. Paul, of course, was disappointed and discouraged with this setback, but he wasn't defeated by it. By the way, discouragement's one of the chief ways that Satan tries to stop you. Get you all discouraged, get you ready to give up. But he isn't all-powerful. He's strong, but he's not all-powerful. He isn't all-knowing, but he is pretty cunning and clever and has a bag full of tricks, doesn't he? He's not all-present, but he has plenty of organized, demonized, mobilized army to come against us. But the good news is that we have authority over Satan in the name of Jesus. You can say that, Baptist folks, without being Pentecostal, right? Well, I don't want nobody to think I got the Holy Ghost or anything like that. You can say that. Curse it in the name of Jesus, right? Curse him in the name of Jesus. He can't have my life, he can't have my family, and he can't have my church, right? Did you hear that? Then they'd do it again louder. Another tool of the devil is fear, right? Gets us scared. We need to be watchful and careful against Satan, but we need to understand that he's powerless to cause us real harm. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." When you think about the devil being symbolized as a lion, that might strike fear in your heart. But when you go to the zoo, have you ever been to the zoo before? Been a long time, but most of us have. And they have lions in cages, don't they? And so when we go to and see a lion in a cage, do we turn and run away screaming for help? The lion is going to get me? No. Why? Because he's behind bars, right? Usually pretty thick bars. And so we can walk right up and look at him. Satan is like a lion, it says. He's a satanic lion, but he isn't attacking because he can't. He's prowling. He's looking around. That's what the verse says. He's looking around. He isn't biting. He says he's roaring. He isn't eating. He's looking for someone to devour. In the jungle, a lion often roars in order to frighten its prey, right? And make him stop so they can grab a hold of their prey. The prey is so terrorized that they don't even run away. Satan wants to keep us so afraid of him that we're spiritually paralyzed. You hear me? He tries to stop Christians using fear and discouragement. So don't let Satan use discouragement or fear to stop or hinder you. I've been down the fear and more down the discouragement road, I think, than the fear part. Of course, they kind of blend together a little bit, don't they? If you're one or it's the other. But I don't have to be discouraged. I've got actually everything to be encouraged about, don't I? I know Christ. He allows me to get up here every Sunday. And he allows you to do the things that you do because you know Christ. You're well blessed, right? Needs are met. I didn't say wants. Needs are met, right? We are well blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen, right? And Satan didn't have anything to do with that. A third thing is when Satan tries to hinder you, find another way to fulfill God's will. It's what we see in the first part of chapter 3 there that we got into just a little bit. Paul wrote that he tried over and over to visit the people of Thessalonica, but Satan stopped him. So what did Paul do? Did he say, "Oh well, Satan, you win. I give up." Don't ever give up, by the way. Did he give up on the Thessalonians and say, "Well, it must not be God's will for me to go over there. I'm having too much trouble." You know, sometimes when we have too much trouble, we're right in the middle of God's will, are we not? Because usually when we're not doing God's will, it's easy street. Satan doesn't bother people who are not in God's will, right? He's worried you're where he wants you to be. And if that had been Paul's attitude, we wouldn't have the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians today, would we? These were his books to write back to the church to give them encouragement. Satan stopped plan A. Paul knew there was more than one way to do the will of God, so he went to plan B. And if B don't work, go to C, right? C don't work, go to D, but just keep on going, right? Just keep on going. First, because Paul couldn't go, it says he sent Timothy. Sometimes if we can't go, we send somebody else. Mission work, for instance, that kind of thing. The next thing Paul did was to write to the members of the church. We're reading those words today. He couldn't come in person, so he came in the form of a letter, instructing and encouraging them. And like Paul, we can still only be in one place at one time, right? We can send ourselves by different means of communication. We got all kinds of communication today, don't we? Email and all this kind of stuff. And I've got to where I'd rather email somebody than call them. We email Pete in the same office, you know, when we could just pick up the phone and say, "Hey, you know, what about so-and-so?" But it seems like when I pick up the phone and I call somebody, even if they're, I can see them over there through the windows in the next room. Instead of call, because if you call them, then you're liable to get chit-chatty, you know. That's the thing. I'd rather just send you an email, tell you what I want, you give me an answer, and we'll move on. That's in business, you know. That's good. You got to always move on. But the fact of the matter is, we got all these ways to communicate, right? All these different ways. Email, text, and as our president likes to do, tweet. You say, "Well, I don't know how to tweet." Well, don't. Pick up the phone, right? Do whatever works for you. But Paul didn't let the devil hinder him from communicating his love to the congregation. He couldn't go to Thessalonica. Where did he go? Bible says he went to Berea, where they received the word with gladness. He went where God was working over there. Then he says he went to Athens, where God was working over there, to those philosophers at the Areopagus, big, you know, high-minded people. I can imagine when the devil saw Paul moving on in God's work and going here and going there, sending Timothy back there and so forth. Man, I should have let him go to Thessalonica, right? See, that's an example to us to how to overcome. We can't do this, then do that, but do something, right? Amen. Don't give up and go home and say, well, it's just too hard or it's too rough, I can't do it, and cry in our milk or whatever you want to call it. But move on. Remember, the devil's already defeated, right? Amen. Jesus defeated his ornery hide at the cross. Can you say ornery hide in the pulpit? I just did. The devil's more powerful than we are, but we've been given authority in the name of Jesus to stand against him. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Submit yourself to God. Maybe the devil's bothering you today because you're not submitted to God. It says, resist him. He will do what? He'll flee from you because he knows he doesn't have a chance. There is a real person called Satan. Do you believe that this morning? Some people don't like to think that there's a real living being named Satan. You might want to check your salvation if Satan's not bothering you, right? Because as we fully submit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ and we resist the devil, it says he'll flee from us. That's what the Word says. Do you believe what the Word says? It's God's Word. We got out of the Bible. It's true. It's not like they say, well, it came off the internet. It's true. Most of the time it's not, right? And listen, just because it's on Facebook don't make it true either. I'm amazed at how they put some celebrity's picture there and some saying, and that guy never said that. Never said it. People just eat it up. Except us, right? We don't do that. There are some Christians who confess that they don't have much trouble with the devil or from the devil. They don't even ever think about him because he never causes them any trouble. They think all of this talk about resisting Satan is just a waste of time. Billy Sunday, former baseball player turned evangelist, he said this. Billy Sunday, by the way, was very blunt. Very blunt. And he said this. If you aren't meeting the devil every step of the way, it could be because you and the devil are going in the same direction. Turn around and start living for God, and you'll be running into the devil all day long, right? Is that not true? You're going against the current. You're going against the flow. If everything's easy, maybe you are going the same direction that he is. But that's good advice. Turn around. Follow God. And you'll be running into the devil all day long. I would have liked to have been around when that guy was preaching. It's not like that anymore. Doesn't seem like. Preachers are afraid to preach. Many modern people don't believe in the devil, but Jesus did, Paul did. Paul knew Satan, even more importantly, Satan knew Paul. Leonard Ravenhill wrote, he said, my main ambition in life is to be on the devil's most wanted list. He's really there serving God, right? If he's on the most wanted list, on the hit list of the devil. So are you on the hit list or are you on the do not disturb list? Really, no preacher likes to preach a whole message on the devil. We need to know these things, though, don't we? But I don't mind exposing him for who he is. He's a defeated foe. So the next time he tries to throw an obstacle in your way, just look for a way to resist him, right? Don't fear the devil. He tries to intimidate you, but in the name and the authority of Jesus, you can have victory over the devil. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you today to trust Jesus as your Savior. If you've not trusted him before, or you feel like you did back there one time and it wasn't right, I want to invite you to trust him today. Trust him and follow him. Don't worry about the devil. Don't worry about, well, if I start following Christ, I'm suddenly going to start having all kinds of problems. Guess what? You've already got problems because you're not following Christ. And any problems that the devil would ever throw in your path is nothing that can't be overcome in the name of Jesus, right? So let's pray. Father, as we come to this time of consideration and meditation and contemplation of receiving Christ, Lord, I pray that today everybody here is a Christian. And I pray everybody here is a committed Christian. Father, help us to know the power that we have to live our lives in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I pray that if there's a decision to be made today, that it will be made without hesitation as we begin to sing. In Jesus' name, amen.